Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from First Presbyterian Church of Allentown. This Advent and Christmas season, we are exploring a special series inspired by a sanctified art. So join us as we ask ourselves, what do you fear? This is a word for all of us in Advent. In a season of waiting, we are not asked to suppress fear, but to face it. To ask, how does fear live in me? What voices has it amplified? What longings has it silenced? Advent invites us not simply to be not afraid, but to act with love in the midst of fear. Not to fix everything, but to show up with courage. Let us believe with trembling hope that fear does not have the last word. Because fear doesn't stop us. Love leads us forward. Those beautiful words were written by the Reverend Dr. Boyoung Lee, a guest writer from A Sanctified Art for this Advent series.
O Holy God, may my words this morning be your words, and may those words be planted in our hearts, so that as we approach the birth of your Son, we do so with joy, love, and courage in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us might have learned that fear is a problem that we must overcome, or that feeling fear might feel like a negative emotion that we are supposed to push down. Or maybe we feel something along the lines that if we were truly faithful and truly trusting of God, we would feel calmer, steadier, more certain, less afraid. Somewhere along the way, we've been taught that the answer to fear is courage, as if courage and fear are opposites, standing on two sides of the spectrum. You're either afraid or you're courageous. But that way of thinking doesn't actually match the faith, how faith works, or how scripture works, or even how being human works. Because courage is not the opposite of fear. If courage were the opposite of fear, then the people of God, those that God calls in scripture, would have already failed before they've even begun. It would mean that fear disqualifies us or them or us from faithfulness and following the call given to anyone as a disciple of Christ. The people God calls are often filled with fear. Mary felt fear. Jeremiah felt fear. John the Baptist felt fear. The prophets and the disciples felt fear. Fear shows up again and again and again in the stories where God is doing something new. So before we go any further, we must all be on the same page about fear. Fear is not a negative emotion. This past summer, many of our children spent a week learning about emotions. Fear, sadness, joy, anger, and love at our Vacation Bible School. One of the core messages they heard was that all of these are emotions, all of these emotions are part of being human. God's people throughout the Bible felt them. Jesus felt them too. Jesus felt fear. That was the very first message that we gave our children on day one. That if they were scared at being at VBS or if they were afraid of being away from their parents, it was okay, because Jesus knows that fear. Very often, fear shows up because something matters to us. Fear often rises when we care about something and that thing is at risk. To say that fear is something we shouldn't feel actually contradicts the faith we've been trying to form, not just in our children, but also in ourselves. So as we continue our Advent journey today, we're not asking how to become fearless or how to get rid of our fear. Instead, we're asking a more honest and faithful question. What does it look like to move forward even when we are afraid. Because again and again, fear is often the place where calling begins. Because of that, I want to focus on our Jeremiah passage. Jeremiah is not one of the prophets we would normally turn to in Advent, because the book of Jeremiah is rooted in sadness and anger and protest and grief. All of this is wrapped up in this deep, ongoing lament from God and against God. Jeremiah is actually nicknamed the weeping prophet by some biblical scholars and theologians because Jeremiah feels deeply and he speaks from that place of deep feeling. Jeremiah's nickname actually inspired the name of my own blog, The Weeping Christian, that I named when I was 22 and in seminary. And if you think that name is a little cringy, you should hear the name of my first email account. But that is a story for another time. In today's reading, Jeremiah responds to God's call with doubt, excuses, and fear. We hear it in the passage that Jeremiah says he is only a boy, but he's not just saying that he is a child, he is saying that he has no authority and no experience. And Jeremiah is not just making an excuse. He is saying that he feels the risk that he must take on. Jeremiah understands that answering this call will place him in danger. He will be asked to speak words people do not want to hear. He will confront kings, priests, and systems of power. He will name injustice, violence, and betrayal at a time when silence would have been far safer. And as Jeremiah's story unfolds, his fear proves well-founded. Jeremiah's life does not get easier once he says yes. He is mocked and ridiculed. He is imprisoned and beaten. At one point, he is thrown into a muddy cistern and left to die. He watches his beloved city of Jerusalem fall. He witnesses exile, devastation, death, and loss on a scale that overwhelms him. Repeatedly, Jeremiah cries out to God in grief, sometimes wishing that he was never born. Jeremiah knows fear. Jeremiah knows sadness. He knows anger. He knows despair. His book is filled with lament and unresolved grief. And yet, for all of that emotional intensity, something never happens. Jeremiah never stops feeling. Even when he is exhausted, even when he is angry with God, even when his hope is barely there, Jeremiah remains deeply engaged with God, with his people, and with the world as it actually is. And this distinction matters. This distinction matters because fear does not automatically lead us toward faithfulness, nor does it lead us away from it. Fear on its own is not a deciding factor. What shapes us is what we do with it once fear arrives, and whether we are willing to stay in relationship with that fear rather than letting it take over or shut us down. Earlier this Advent, many of our small groups read an article from Psychology Today titled "Making Friends with Fear," written by Denise Fournier, a psychologist who writes about emotional health and resilience. In that article, Fournier suggests that fear becomes less destructive when we approach it intentionally rather than instinctively. She names three postures that help keep fear from hardening: curiosity, compassion, and courage. These postures offer a way of staying present to fear without being ruled by it. They don't remove fear, and they don't deny its reality, Instead, they create space for fear to be understood and engaged in ways that keep us connected. We begin with curiosity. Curiosity slows us down enough to notice what fear is actually pointing toward. Rather than reacting immediately or trying to silence our fear, curiosity asks why this moment feels different, what feels at risk, and what might be asking for our attention. Being curious about our fear can also reveal what we value most, both as individuals and as a community. We tend to fear losing what we love. Alongside curiosity comes compassion. Without compassion, fear turns quickly inward and becomes shame. Compassion reminds us that fear is a human response to uncertainty and risk, but not as a failure or a lack of faith. We are not only called to extend compassion to others when they are afraid, we are also called to extend compassion to ourselves when fear shows up in our lives. And then there is courage, not as the opposite of fear, but as the willingness to remain responsive while fear is still present. Courage is the decision to take the next faithful step, even when we are afraid. Courage does not require fear to be resolved before we act. It simply refuses to let fear make all the decisions for us. But when fear is met, or when fear is not met with curiosity, compassion, and courage, it begins to harden. Unattended fear often collapses inward, becoming numbness, where we stop feeling because feeling hurts too much. Or it spreads outward into apathy, where caring for anything beyond ourselves begins to feel pointless. Fear does not disappear in these moments. It simply changes shape. And that change is where the danger of fear enters. Courage is not the opposite of fear. The opposite of fear, as seen in the stories throughout Scripture, is a hardened heart. The opposite of fear is a hardened heart. Scripture understands this distinction well. One of the clearest examples in Scripture appears in the book of Exodus, in the figure we know as Pharaoh. The Pharaoh of Exodus is never named in the text, which in itself is telling. Pharaoh becomes less of a historical individual and more of a symbol of hardened power. In Exodus, we hear several times that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh witnesses suffering up close. He hears the cries of the enslaved people. He sees the consequences of his decisions, and still nothing breaks through Pharaoh's hardened heart that causes so much violence and oppression around him. Another example in Scripture is King Saul. Or more relevant to our Advent series, King Herod. Even the disciples had their hearts hardened, as named in the Gospel of Mark. But fortunately, their hardened hearts were healed. This is the danger Scripture warns us about. Fear becomes dangerous only when it becomes left unattended, when it hardens inward into numbness or turns outward into apathy. Both of which cut us off from hope. And this brings us to Mary. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, Mary responds with the question, "How can this be?" She takes in what is being said to her, and then she responds. And she responds with a thoughtful, embodied, and courageous response. Mary says yes. Mary's yes does not come from certainty, but it comes from trust of her Lord in the midst of her fear. Mary and Jeremiah, so many of the callings we see in Scripture echo one another. Both Mary and Jeremiah are called into something that will cost them dearly. Both of them respond with fear, and both of them ask questions. And both of them move forward anyway. It is the courage to keep responding to God's call while fear remains part of their story. And the worst of Mary's fears will happen. Mary will see her baby boy as a young man executed on the cross. But here is something to notice. When we are afraid for the future, whether it be our future, our country's future, the world's future, that fear is not empty. It means that there is still something inside of us that cares deeply about what could be. It means that we still carry hope, even if that hope feels fragile or exhausted. Fear for the future often reveals longing for a better future that is filled with authenticity and joy and love and relationship. We do not fear what we've already given up on. We fear losing what we believe still matters. Friends, the danger is that we are not afraid. We should be afraid at times. The danger is allowing that fear to harden our hearts. That danger is allowing fear to make us give up on hope. God's work does not depend on our fearlessness, but on our willingness to keep responding even though we are afraid. So when we find ourselves afraid, let that fear tell us something true. Let that fear name something we value. Let that fear remind us that we are still connected, still invested, and still have hope in our hearts. And then, with courage and fear walking hand in hand, we take that next faithful step forward. Because even in our fear, we are still being called by God. And even now, God is still at work. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.